Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
All right, well, welcome to the first ever Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, the voice of Augustana Football, and joining me today is Cole Bardwell, the quarterback for the Vikings. So thanks for joining me, Cole, on this inaugural interview here.
Oh, of course. I'm very excited for it.
Hey, well, just do a quick intro, a little bit about yourself, you know, your major and your hometown, and a little bit about Cole.
Yeah, no, so I'm Cole, fifth year. Came back for a fifth year this year. My major is accounting, so that's the goal after this season. And then, I interned and stuff in this past spring, so I kind of got a good feel of what I'm going to be doing eventually for my job here in a couple of months after the football season. Like I said, back for a fifth year, can't wait. Lucky to have the opportunity to come back for a fifth year. Honestly, I know a lot of people, you know, down the road in life, even from older people I've heard, even my dad, he said, you know, if he could go back in time and play one more time, he absolutely would. And that's kind of the thoughts I've gotten from pretty much everybody, is that if they could play one more snap, they would. And, you know, me being granted that extra season for a fifth year, it seemed like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is really the last year, you know, kind of that COVID year playing into effect. And talk a little bit about how was your summer. I mean, you know, I was talking to your dad at the Ambrose co-practice, you know, and it's like you had a full-time opportunity, if you wanted it, but obviously early last year you committed to the fifth year. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what did you do this summer and what did you do from an internship perspective?
Yeah, no, this summer, so I guess we'll start off in the spring. I interned at a place out here in the Quad Cities for a tax position. So I did all sorts of taxes, business returns, personal returns, stuff like that. So I got a good taste of what the accounting world is going to be like in terms of a tax position, which is what I want to pursue post this fifth year season. So I'll have a good idea of what I'm going to do in terms of an internship or from that internship for a job. And then this summer, it was really, I worked a lot this summer, and I'm gonna end up working for my neighbor whom owns his own accounting firm. So I'll be doing that this fall, in between class and stuff like that. And then, this summer was really like, you know, my goal was to physically be in better shape, and another main one was kind of adding the speed element to me that hasn't necessarily been there in the past. I think it's very clear, knowing that me going on year, three and a half of being the quarterback here, I have been deemed as the pocket passer. And I think I'm probably one of maybe two or three in the conference that are legit pocket passers, that I'm not going to leave the pocket unless I absolutely need to. And when I leave the pocket, it's more going to be about throwing the ball away than it is trying to run. So that was really my main focus, was, you know, get a little stronger, be able to, you know, take some of those hits that I'm going to end up taking this year. But mainly it was, you know, I'm not wanting to run a four, you know, I'm not going to run a 4.4 now that I ran a little bit in the summer, but you know, if I can gain a few yards with my feet, that's a few yards that we didn't have in previous seasons. So that was really the main focus of this summer, was, you know, adding that speed, adding a little bit of strength, and ultimately, you know, keeping my arm in shape and not necessarily just taking a 2-month vacation in terms of throwing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime we can stretch those kind of, you know, broken plays into, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards, you know, can be tremendous. So, now coming into, you know, your fifth year, I mean, what does that look like kind of balancing academics and football, that you didn't necessarily have, you know, last year?
Yeah. You know, last year being on a typical class, because I don't have as many classes as all these other guys do. So, you know, it is, I have a lot more free time for me. But, you know, being in that fifth year position now, you know, your life is football now. Like that is pretty much how I am right now, is that my time is being spent doing football things. It's either watching film or, you know, I could even be in the weight room, you know, on days that we're not supposed to, but I have nothing else to, if I got nothing else to do, you know, I can go lift, I can go stretch, I can go to the ATR. I can even be with Jones. Like, I know during some of my, during the weeks now, like, you know, on days I'll just be in the meeting. I'll be in doing film with Jones. So yeah, that'll definitely a big difference in being a fifth year versus a typical student, you know, a lot more free time versus, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, you're taking, you know, 16, 18 credits and you've got, you know, 3 classes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and 2 on Tuesday and Thursday, and you're sitting in class for an hour and a half. So, I mean, as they're learning about whatever, you know, studying for tests, my thing is, you know, I'm solely focused on the opponent we're playing. I don't need to worry about my chemistry test that I have next week. So yeah, definitely a lot better in my opinion in terms of the academics and how I am with football right now.
Well, you can't, you know, you can never be nervous going into a game because, you know, you feel like you have all the plenty of time to be prepared, you know, kind of moving forward. I think a lot of times, you know, nerves comes from a lack of preparation. So it'd be interesting, you know, as we go into this year and how that continues to kind of evolve. And like you, you know, Ruckus Hunkins, you know, is another fifth year as well. So from a defensive perspective, he's also, you know, the captain for the defense. Mm-hmm. Hopefully continues to put him in a good position, right? You know, with Tim Sweeney gone on that end. So now we hosted a scrimmage game, you know, this past Saturday. We had Loris come down. You know, how did you feel about getting some, you know, some real time, you know, kind of game reps, and how overall did you feel like that scrimmage went?
I thought it went really well. You know, and that had really been the first time that our whole offense had been together, because we do so many rotations during camp. You know, like, so for example, I might be out there for 4 plays, but those, you know, the starting receivers may only be out there for 2. So then my next 2 reps are with the 2s, which is totally fine. And then, but when we make that rotation again after, you know, Crawley comes in and then Brown comes in and then Nick Gooch comes in for reps at quarterback, when I eventually get back around, I may not even have the 1s or 2s. I might be with the, you know, I might have our fourth group of receivers. So really that scrimmage was the first time that we had been on the field together for a good amount of snaps. And I thought we were pretty successful, in my opinion. You know, we scored 3 out of 5 drives. And even the 2 drives we didn't score, it was easily fixable things, very easy fixable things, you know. You know, either, you know, a bad throw, which a bad throw can always be fixed, or, you know, they just happen to run a blitz against a, you know, a pass protection that, you know, that's the only blitz that they can run that can screw that play up. And that's what they did. So, you know, but all in all, I thought we had a great scrimmage offensively and defensively. All 3 phases of football played really well. I know special teams, we didn't have a whole lot because there was no returns, but, offense and defense, phenomenal job. I thought we played fast, and ultimately I think the main thing was we played confident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's also one of those things where we are coming off of success last year, and our whole focus was to forget about last year. Last year happened, awesome, but it's time to move on from last year and get off the high horse. But at the same time, you know, it is hard to forget last year for how successful we were. But the one thing I enjoyed was that we walked into that scrimmage with a whole lot of swag that, you know, we were one of the top dogs last year in arguably the top conference in Division III, probably number two behind the WIAC. And we were one of the top three teams. So we walked in a lot of swag of we were expecting to win that scrimmage, not hoping to win that scrimmage. And ultimately we came out successful. So yeah, I'm very, very, very happy with how that scrimmage went in all phases.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right out of the gate, you know, one thing that you guys committed to a lot more last year was being, you know, a lot more successful on the run. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Tyler Ravelli last year, then Mike DeJoya, you know, kind of backing him up. And, you know, Mike DeJoya is the main guy, you know, coming into this year. And he popped off some big runs. I mean, I thought he looked great. I thought we had great running lanes. You know, Josh Lim came in. He got the I think he's the one that had the touchdown there as well. You know, there's some of the route combinations I can see, you know, certainly you and Braden Smith, you know, had a lot of continuity, you know, coming over from last year since he's, you know, worked himself into the offense last year, especially after Nsara, you know, went down injured. But Sean Slancer, nice job, you know, pushing the boundaries up there as well. You know, then a few others that are starting to, you know, Ethan Vrabak, you know, as well, starting to work themselves in. So, you know, overall, it felt like, you know, we're at least in the initial scrimmage, right? The eye test, we'll just put it to that. It felt like we didn't take a step back. It felt like, man, we really continue to kind of move the ball forward a little bit, which is exciting. So now, without giving away any secrets, I don't need Bell yelling at me. What can we expect to see, you know, from kind of the Vikings, you know, this year?
I think if you take a look back to the last couple of seasons, I think, you know, I think my junior year, which would have been 2021, I think we were 2022. If you take a look back at fall of 2022, we were a very pass heavy team. Very, very pass heavy. And I think everybody from that team will probably tell you that, is that we felt that we had to throw the ball to win the game, and which was obviously fine by me. I love throwing the ball. But I think if you look back, we threw the ball a whole lot more than we ran, and we were stronger at that passing game than we were the running game. If you take a look back at last fall, we were a much stronger running team than we were a passing team. And, you know, it kind of flipped essentially from 2022 to 2023. And I would say in this year, you can expect it to be a very, very balanced offense. I think that coming into this year, we know that we can run the ball. We know we can run the ball, and especially effectively with Mikey, Ludlam, Lim, doesn't matter who's in the game. We're going to run the ball effectively. And I think with how well we run the ball, it will open the pass game. Kind of similar to how it did last year, with our run game being so successful, that really did open up our pass game. And I think, and I also think this year it can also be vice versa. I think our pass game can be really well, and that will open up our run game. So I would say the big thing is that in terms of offensively, we'll be pretty balanced, I think. I think we'll have a good balanced attack on whatever we choose to do. And then defensively, I mean, you can just see it on paper. Our DBs, even Ruckus at, you know, that Sam linebacker spot, that he'll be in coverage for a decent amount. So you can kind of consider him like a nickel type DB. You know, Hugh Keeney in the middle, Rondae Worls, who's moved to edge. So, you know, we've got a lot of experience coming back on that side of the ball, and, you know, they're not quite as young as the offense is, but the defense very seasoned. And I mean, I think our DBs are really going to carry that defense along throughout the season I mean, because you got Darren, who's an all-conference returner. Johnny and Dakota will be four-year starters. And then Hootchin had a good camp. I know he got a little bit of playing time last year, but he really stepped up, and you can see the maturity level kind of raise from last fall to throughout this camp. So, yeah, that's what I would expect is good, great DB crew, and then a very balanced offense attack.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, on the secondary, this is probably the most talented secondary the Vikings have had in a long time. Cohesive group. You know, it's hard to replace All-American, you know, Nick Harper. But Hootchin, I think, did, you know, a formidable job coming in last year as a freshman. And, you know, he got kind of brought into that spotlight. But he grew quickly, and he looked really good. I think he was playing the boundary corner in that Laura. So, so I'm very high on this Vikings secondary.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Certainly looking forward to that. And now, you know, we talked about, you know, Vrabeck and Schlancer and Braden Smith are going to be, you know, your three kind of primary go-tos. You know, who's had a really strong camp that the Vikings can keep an eye out for, you know, this year on the offensive side of things?
Yeah, from the offensive side, two guys have really stood out. Miles Stapleton, for one. I can't remember what high school he is, but I know he's a sophomore. Big, tall, lanky guy. And he's got good speed, too. he's, you know, 6'4 guy. He can run any route you tell him. And, you know, especially in a one-on-one, it's very advantageous for us with his length and for how well he can coordinate his body when the ball's in the air. And, you know, make the plays and catches that he needs to make. And the second one is John Bolton. You know, Bolton was a guy the past couple of years that, like, you know, he was Mr. Funny Man. Like, you know, if you had a bad day, go talk to John Bolton because he'll cheer you up with something that he's going to say. You know, it wasn't necessarily in Bolton's eyes to, you know, I got to be the best player. But, you know, Bolton was always, I'm going to be the best teammate and just have as much fun as I can. And this camp, he really had a phenomenal camp. He just how fast he was in the slot and just ultimately just doing his job. He's not flashy like, you know, some like other receivers try to be and stuff like that, but he just does his job. If the route tells him to run an out route, he's going to do whatever he can to get himself open on the out route. And he's just going to ultimately do his job. And that's what I loved most about Bolton this year in this camp. So yeah, I would say, but definitely those two, Stapleton and Bolton, those are definitely two names to look out for. And then I actually have one more that just came to mind, Brett Holcomb. So Holcomb was a linebacker that we transitioned to tight end. And Brett had a really good camp too, especially, you know, kind of making that switch and having to learn the complexity of this offense and having a short time to do it. And, you know, not only learn the routes that he'll have to run and the blocks he'll have to make, but also having to learn every signal that's being thrown at him and the high pace we try to run this offense. He did a phenomenal job learning. And, you know, you started to see, you know, as camp went on, how comfortable he would get each day in terms of the different things he had to do. So, yeah, but definitely those three. Definitely those three for sure. Stapleton, Bolton, and Holcomb.
Yeah, Bolton's an athlete. So certainly looking forward to him. Yeah, I saw him rotating in with Braden, you know, in that Laura scrimmage there at slot. But, you know, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit before we kicked this off just around the size. I mean, you mentioned from a tight end perspective, you have Jake Miller, you know, who's the clear number one last year, 6'3". Brett Holcomb coming over, he's 6'3". You know, you got Vrabeck at 6'4", Schlancer 6'2", Stapleton 6'4", Nate Henry 6'4". So, you know, Bladen Murdoch 6'2", Grant Zach 6'4". I mean, tons of height that the Vikings, you know, traditionally has not had. Mm-hmm. And those are a lot of young, you know, young players. I mean, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior. So, you know, they're going to be able to compete, you know, up in the air, which we've struggled with, mm-hmm. you know, in that 19 and 21 and a little bit in 22 season. And, you know, you think about some of the other folks across the CCIW, that's where they've had success. So mm-hmm. I think it's the Vikings' time. So now, the motto this year, unfinished business, mm-hmm. Is what I keep hearing. So what does that mean for you and kind of for this program?
No, I mean, so like when I hear the term unfinished business and I relate it to our team, the way I take it in my head, and people could, you know, think the same thing or think differently and take it a different way. This is the way I interpret that motto with this team. And unfinished business is we achieved a lot of goals last year. A lot of goals. We got over the hump of WashU last year. And we hope to continue that, you know. And it's kind of been a yearly thing. I mean, back in 21, unfinished business, we got over the hump of Wesleyan. 22, we continue to get over Wesleyan. 23, and then last year we finally get over the hump of WashU. But ultimately, that motto is we got to that 11th game, what we wanted. We won an 11th game no matter what, whether that had been the Isthmus Bowl or the playoffs. An 11th game was great, but we didn't win it. We didn't win, and ultimately the job wasn't finished. I mean, we strung out 6 straight wins last year, but we ended the season with back-to-back losses and a bowl loss. So unfinished business, in my opinion, it was great to experience the Isthmus Bowl. That was a great experience. Do I want to go back? Not really. I want to go to the playoffs. I truly think that, you know, the Isthmus Bowl is a great thing to do, you know, and experience that 11th game, but we should be focusing on trying to get an 11th and a 12th and a 13th, 14th, 15th game. And you know, but if we do go back to the Isthmus Bowl this year, you know, that's an extra game of football. And, you know, if we, you know, we really earned it, but at the end of the day, we should be gunning for the playoffs. And, you know, if we were to have the same exact record this upcoming year as we did this past year, I would really hope that we would make one of those additional 8 spots into the playoffs. But unfinished business, yes. The job wasn't finished last year when we lost to Platteville in that 11th game.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's well, and there's some unfinished business in the Isthmus Bowl from the CCIW perspective because it's 0-3 now. So, a lot of opportunity there, and I'll be curious to see with those additional spots coming in, the 40-team playoff, and you know the NPI ranking, I think, is what they're using. You know, to see how it really kind of shakes out and how it impacts, you know, folks within the CCIW and a few others. So, Now, let's turn to Saturday. We're home. We're opening at home against Simpson, so the Storm. Now, you played them once. You know, we opened last year out in out at Simpson with it was a 49-27 win. What do you kind of expect to see defensively from them this Saturday as you line up?
Yeah, no, you know, it'll be a mix. Last year we saw a lot of man coverage from them last year. And, you know, it's tough to kind of figure a team like this out, right? Because it's not a team we play every year. So it's a team we got to go off of, you know, what they did to us last year and how they defended us last year. And, you know, we've got a couple other games of film, on them. But it seems to be a pretty heavy mix of stuff. Like, you know, I think we're pretty good that it's pretty nice having other film of other teams, because if you were to ask me, you know, 5 days ago, what do you expect from Simpson? I would say complete man coverage. That's what we're going to get. We're going to get our one-on-one matchups. But after looking at these other, how they played against these other schools, you know, they played a lot of zone coverage. So I would expect I'm expecting a pretty healthy mix of zone, you know, cover four, and man-to-man coverage. But I personally think they're going to go a little bit more man-to-man than 50%. I think we'll probably see about 70% man coverage out of Simpson. And then, but their coach is a smart guy, Hoskins from Wesleyan. So he knows how we are as an offense. He probably knows a lot of players that are on our team. He probably recruited a lot of people on our team. So, you know, he knows a lot of these players, how they are as football players. And he knows Coach Bell and Coach Jones and Coach Ragone. He knows all of them pretty well from having to play them every single year. We'll kind of see if Hoskins has any kind of, you know, say in terms of their defense. I know Hoskins is an offensive guy, so we'll have to see. But I guess all in all, I'm expecting a little bit of both, but mostly man coverage.
Let's switch maybe a little non-football to a certain degree here question. So I was talking to your mom and at Ambrose. And she was telling me about Sunday breakfast with the offensive line. So, you know, what, tell me a little bit about that. Like, you know, when and how did you start it? And then what's your favorite breakfast spot so far in the QC?
Yeah. So it kind of started in high school. So when I was in high school, I started my first varsity football game halfway through my junior year due to an injury. So I guess you could say, you know, I technically wasn't supposed to start a varsity game until I was a senior. I had a kid ahead of me. He was a year older than me and very good football player. And, you know, that's just how it was. You know, I was stuck behind him with him being a year older, but it kind of started in high school, my senior year. And I just told my offensive line, I go, look, you know, if we win and I don't get sacked, I'll take you guys out and it's on me, wherever you guys want to go, Sunday morning for breakfast. And so it kind of started there. And then eventually when I got here, I told the guys, I gave them the same deal. I was like, hey, I go, you know, if I don't get sacked and we win the game, I'll take you guys wherever you want, you know, like, and it can be Sunday breakfast. It could be Sunday dinner. It could be Monday dinner. It doesn't matter when we do it, but you know, that is my way of showing my appreciation to the offensive line. Because, you know, when you watch a lot of football, the offensive line aren't the guys who get the recognition. When I throw a good ball, it's because I got the time from the offensive line. And we won a lot of games last year because of our offensive line, for how dominant our offensive line was up front. They were dominant. Offensive line. So that was my way of showing my appreciation to them and kind of thanking them for what they do. So like I know last year, like I think last year we kind of moved, we went to Monday dinner because a lot of them preferred dinner, but I know we, you know, and I do make it very clear they can go wherever they want. They choose wherever they want. So I know last year we went to Jim's Rib Haven for once, to Texas Roadhouse once. And of course these happened in like back-to-back weeks. So like, it was just kind of piling up week after week. But I know after the Texas Roadhouse one, that was pretty expensive. I think the week after that, I got, we'll take it easy. Let's just go to Portillo's. So yeah, it's kind of a wide mix of stuff, but in my favorite breakfast spot, definitely, I want to say it's called Flips. It's in Moline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pancake House.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Flips. Great place. That's probably my favorite place. Breakfast place for sure.
Nice. I need to get some food sponsors on here. You know, another one, it's always a good one to go take a look at is Iowa Machine Shed. Could be a good one here this year. And if you go, maybe I'll come join you guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's right by my house. That's the reason why. Well, good. So really the only last thing, I'm curious on what your response would be, but what is maybe your most memorable game so far you know, of your Viking career?
Oh, you know, I think my most memorable, I got a lot of memorable games for different reasons, but I think my biggest memorable game was probably Illinois Wesleyan in 21, because that was the year that I had taken over. And I started the year as the third string quarterback, and I had two injuries. And then I had to take over against Wheaton, and Wheaton having a very good defense that year. You know, I got my welcome to college football moment from them throughout the entire game. And then
at Wheaton,
on their homecoming. But, you know, and then I had my first start the next week against WashU, and it wasn't a very good start. And then the week after that, it's like, okay, like, you know, we're 2-4 right now. What can we do to turn this around? And we play Carroll, and we lose in overtime to Carroll. And it's like, oh man. And then finally I get that first win I had in college against Carthage the next week. And then we beat Elmhurst the week after that on senior day and we're 4-5. But I think the most memorable was by far that Wesleyan game. No, because I mean, I was never recruited by Wesleyan. I know the game was very, very personal for everybody on that roster that year. Everybody on that team hated Wesleyan. Even freshmen and even people in my class, sophomores in my class, hated Wesleyan. Hated, you know, the coach they've got over there for their reasons. And I never really knew about that rivalry. You know, I never got recruited there. I didn't know about it prior. So, and then me learning the history that we had not won that game in, you know, 6 seasons until that game, you know, it was nice. And, you know, it was great because I became so close with that class that were seniors that year. And, you know, we were able to beat Wesleyan for the first time in 6 years. We did it in dominant fashion. We got those seniors out there to celebrate what was their last ever game of their life. And they did something that no class above them had done in 6 years. And that was beat Illinois Wesleyan. And much less they got it in their last game. And to me, that's most memorable to me also is because that was one of the biggest wins of my career here. And, you know, we were able to pull off the last 3 games of the year and turn what looked like an upside down season into a look of what could be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And coming and knowing that next year we're coming on a hot streak and going to try and build off those 3 wins. So I think for sure that was probably my most memorable win. And, you know, I think ultimately that game had, to me, I guess I'll say, I think that game had a lot to do with my future at this school. Like, I think if that game goes a different way, who knows if I'm sitting here right now as a fifth year talking about, you know, Simpson and that what I'm thinking of what they're going to do and this, that, and the other, you know, I might not have been the quarterback beyond that point. So I think really that was probably the most memorable, and because to me that will always be probably the most important win of my Augie football career here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I would agree too, and that Wesleyan game and just being so pivotal, as we go into, you know, the following year. And but hey, I think overall it's worked out well. You know, you built a good career here within the Vikings. I know you set a few records last year and eyeing I think you're about a little over 1,000 yards off. 1,025, I think, is the official count. So, number 4 spot overall to move into that number 1. So, you know, in a rich history of Zach Fuller, David Lee, Ken Anderson, you know, as well. So, you're in really good company this year, and excited to see how the Vikings play this year. So, again, I think, you know, I think probably a little understated, you know, in the CCIW, and you know, but it's a little bit of a recency effect, and it's who you beat, when you beat them, and you know, we got past that WashU point, but I think, you know, if we look at it this year, we've got to beat them a second year in a row, and the CCIW doesn't start any harder when you lead lead off at Wheaton. Yes. And then you mix in North Central there, you know, kind of midway through the schedule. So, well, actually, I'll be calling the game obviously on Saturday. So it's a night game, a kickoff game. So, you know, playing under the lights will be a lot of fun inside Lindbergh Stadium. So, yep. Well, appreciate you taking the time here and joining me here, you know, today on my lunch hour and the inaugural interview here. So, other than that, we'll connect with you again here this week and we'll talk to you and we'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.